of our praise. Amen. Give them some praise. Go ahead, guys. Thank you, Jesus. Happy Pentecost Sunday, Victory Life Church. Happy Pentecost Sunday, everybody. Turn with me, beloved, to Acts chapter 1. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 today. God is doing some amazing things in this world, and Satan doesn't like it. God's doing some amazing things in America, and Satan doesn't like it. God's doing some amazing things in our homes and in our own hearts, and Satan doesn't like it. So Satan's kicking up all kinds of dust. He's trying to get everyone to freak out. He's trying to get us to attack one another. Let God be true and every man a liar. I want to encourage everybody within the sound of my voice, whether you see this right now at 11 a.m., or you see it 2 years from now. If you're going through something, if you've got a heavy burden, and I know a lot of people do, if you got something that's weighing on you, something that's stealing your joy, why don't you just go ahead and give it to the Lord? By faith, lay your burdens down at His feet and let Him deal with it. Amen. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares upon Him. Give all our burdens, all our anxieties to Him. Cast our cares upon Him because He cares for you. You are loved by the Most High God. If you're a Christian, you are in the family, and He loves you with an undying love, and He doesn't want to see His children suffering and just being so stressed out about whatever it is. So He says, give me those burdens. Through prayer, just hand them over and receive His peace while He works on this situation. Amen? We're going to talk about Pentecost Sunday today. This is Pentecost Sunday. It's an exciting time. It's a very exciting time because we serve a miracle-working God. I want you guys to understand that this morning. We serve a miracle-working God. So here we have these problems, and they're real problems. We have these issues. We've got these scary things going on in our life. And God says, give them to me, okay? We're not meant to carry this stuff. I'm encouraging everybody, lay your burdens down at the foot of the cross. Acts 1 and verse 4 is where I want to start this morning. This is Jesus Christ, and He is promising to send the Holy Spirit to His apostles. Now, this is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is right before He goes back up to the Father. So He's spending a little bit of time with His apostles, and this is where we're going to pick up right here, Acts 1 and verse 4. And while staying with them, Jesus, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from me. Jesus Christ had already told them before, don't be sad about me leaving. Don't let your hearts be troubled, okay? It's a good thing because the Comforter's coming. It's a good thing because the Holy Spirit's coming. And us as Bible-believing Christians, we are so blessed because if you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. So we have a reason to rejoice. And we, quite frankly, we have a reason to say no to that temptation. We don't have to give into the things that we used to give into. We don't have to be full of fear. We don't have to be full of depression. We don't have to fear the future. We don't have to be sad about the past. We can be expectant. We can be exciting. We can be just full of joy. We keep our eyes on God and realize our God has equipped us to handle everything. We have a reason to be excited this morning, beloved. And while staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? So this is very interesting, beloved. This is pretty cool. The disciples are still thinking about what can they get out of this situation. The apostles, they're still thinking, you know, rather earthly or temporal. They still think that Jesus Christ, they think, well, maybe now He's going to kick the Romans out. Maybe now Israel can be back to its former glory like with King David and King Solomon. And Jesus is telling them, hey, it's not about that. Those things will happen in God's perfect time. Listen to what I just said. God has made us all some wonderful promises. They're all in this book. Okay, and those are going to happen. Don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Don't grow weary in doing good. But trust in God's promises. Amen. And remember, It's not about you. It's about him. Give him some praise this morning, beloved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So when they had come together, they asked him, so now all the disciples are back together in, except for Judas. You know, he's gone, but they're all together, and they're hanging out with Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, man, you guys are about to be blessed big time. And they're like, well, is it time for you to go sit on the throne in Israel? Is it time to kick the Romans out? It's like, man, you guys still aren't getting it. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about the Father. And that goes for all of us. Amen. We're Christians, okay? We belong to the Most High God, and we are here to give him glory. Amen. Verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know this time. It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. In other words, don't worry about it. God's promises will come to pass. Don't lose sleep over it. Just trust in him. Okay, but God calls us to be obedient. God wants his people to be obedient. It's not about what I can get, but what can I do for the Most High God. Amen. Remember, a lot has been done for us. A lot has been done for us. Okay, that precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed so we could live forever. Okay, verse 8, but you will receive power. Okay, Jesus just kind of redirects the conversation. Hey, let's not talk about that right now. God's going to keep his word, but I want to talk to you about this filling of the Holy Spirit, because this is going to be a game changer for the church. This is going to be a game changer for my people. Instead of one miracle worker, we're going to have scores and scores of people that are filled with the Holy Spirit that are doing amazing things for the Most High God. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what's this filling of the Holy Spirit about? What's this? What's one of the important things about being filled with the Holy Spirit? Man, it's like this. God equips us through his Holy Spirit to do whatever he needs us to do. Jesus Christ is talking to like 11 people right now. And he says, I got a big mission for you. And you don't have the resources to do it on your own. Okay, but I'm going to equip you, church. I'm going to equip you, Victory Life. I'm going to equip you, Sandy, Rick, James, Court. I'm going to equip you with what you need to be what God has called you to be. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. See, God has a reason for us to be here. It's not just about being saved, okay, but he wants to use us while we're here. But he's going to give us the tools we need. God will equip us to do what he wants us to do, so we have a reason to be excited. Okay, now looky here. He told them to stay in Jerusalem, okay, but they're not going to be in Jerusalem forever. Don't get too comfortable in Jerusalem. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And then I got a big job for you. But don't work on pamphlets. Don't work on going door to door inviting people to church. Don't work on the song list. Don't do anything until you receive the Holy Spirit, because you can't do it on your own. When we try and do it on our own, we're going to fall short every time. That's why we got to be in unity, brothers and sisters. That's why we got to have the same goal, to glorify God. Amen? Okay. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, okay, and Samaria. Oh, that's a big deal, because the Jews didn't really like the Samaritans, and the Samaritans didn't really like the Jews. But see, the Holy Spirit in our lives changes things, man. It's not about being prejudiced. It's not about thinking you're better than somebody else. Okay, we belong to the Most High God, and the Most High God says, you know what? As far as my people go, there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no slave, there is no free, there is no male nor female. It's a wonderful thing we belong to Jesus Christ. In Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is what Jesus Christ is telling 11 folks, man. I'm going to fill you with this Holy Spirit, and you're going to go out and turn the world upside down for me. See, we can do all things through Christ, but we're just going to be kicking up dirt, and we're going to wear ourselves out without him. Amen? I want to read Colossians 3 and verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above. Here's a good little thing for the disciples. Okay, God's going to keep his word. God's going to sit on that throne. Okay, but God's got a plan, and we want God's will to be done. So us, as Bible-believing Christians, Let's all get this down. Let's get it fired up about this. I want to focus on things that are above. I want to focus on eternal things, right? And not on earthly things, not on temporal things, not how many toys I can get. I mean, God wants us to work hard. He wants us to be productive, okay? I'm not saying we don't go to college. I'm saying that we need to set our sights on what is above, on eternal things. What's going to last forever? And what's going to last forever? Well, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, God's going to lead me and direct me to do things that are going to give Him glory. Where I wouldn't witness to somebody, because I'm filled with that Holy Spirit, guess what? I'm going to tell them about the love of Jesus because it changed my life. Because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I might think twice about somebody that's hurting that might be a different skin color than me. Because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm not like the world. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Give them some praise. Thank you, Jesus. 'Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That's an easy little statement. Simple and profound at the same time. Amazing. Don't get so caught up and bound up by what this world has to offer, because it's not about that. Newsflash, Christian folk, we're just passing through, but God has us here for a reason. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. We're going to Acts 2, guys. TV land, go to Acts 2, verse 1. We just read about Jesus giving the promise of the Holy Spirit to His apostles. Now He ascends to the Father. Okay, now the disciples are hanging out, man. Now remember, these guys, a few days ago, they were freaking out, man. A few days ago, they were hiding out for their lives. Okay, now that's where we're going to find them right here. Jesus is gone. Now it's just these 11. Oh, it's 12. It's actually 12 now because they brought in a new apostle. Acts 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, so what is this day of Pentecost? It is a real Jewish thing. It's a real Jewish festival where they would celebrate the first harvest, the first part of the harvest, which is very interesting because Jesus Christ fills His people with the Holy Spirit, and now we are about that harvest as well. Amen? Okay, we have that Holy Spirit, and God wants us to be workers in that field. There's a lot of big, fat harvest out there, but there's only a few workers. Okay, so us Bible-believing Christians, us, because every single one of us have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. I don't care what kind of church you grew up in. If you belong to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and He wants to use you. He wants you to be obedient to that calling. Amen. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. I like that. They were all together in one place. You know, Satan hates to see unity in the church. And Christians do stupid stuff all the time to cause trouble. And Christians are weird folks, man. But we do have this in common. We love Jesus Christ. And we can stand on that. Okay? And Satan loves to bring division up in church. Okay, he doesn't want a church to be in one accord, because a church that is in one accord can turn the world upside down. A church in one accord can do amazing things when they're obedient to the Lord. The disciples are all together in one place. Moving forward, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house. This is awesome, man. God opens up their spiritual eyes to what's really going on. And all of a sudden, you got these guys sitting in the room, but the atmosphere changes. And it's just this crazy wind. Okay, I don't know about everybody watching me on the picture show out there, but I've been through some hurricanes, man, and I'll tell you, some amazing things is when you see that wind picking up and you see things flying around and the noise is deafening. That's freaky and that's scary, but that has nothing to compare. That compares nothing at all to what God just did in this room. Okay, all right, here we go, moving forward. Like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, on each one of them. So these guys are hanging out. Who knows what they're doing? Maybe they're hiding out, hanging out. Okay? They're all in this room. Then everything gets crazy. The wind starts blowing inside the room. And then fire appears over each and every one of their heads in the form of tongues. Okay? You see, this is a beautiful picture of that Holy Spirit just falling on them, man. See, before you were a Christian, man, you were a mess. Amen? Can I get a witness? Before you were a Christian, you were a mess. And there's a lot of that flesh man in us right now, even us Christians that wants to rise up. But see, through that Holy Spirit, I can put that flesh man down. Through the Holy Spirit, I can listen to that voice and do what God calls me to do, even the things I don't want to do. Amen? We're blessed people. That's all I want to say. So here the Holy Spirit descends on all these people right here. And look, it doesn't leave one of them out. Okay? It's for every single one of them. Okay? Romans 8 and verse 9. It's on your monitor if you're blessed to be in church this morning. Romans 8 and verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. See, we're a new creation in Christ. All right? That flesh man wants to get into trouble all the time. But guess what? We have a different master now. We belong to the Most High God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, I don't know if the Spirit of God dwells in me. Yes, it does. If you're a Christian, well, I don't remember nothing like that happened. By faith, you accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. By faith, that Holy Spirit came and dwelled inside you. Amen? In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now listen up. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Okay, the Holy Spirit is for every single Bible-believing Christian. Doesn't matter what your grandma said. Doesn't matter what your Sunday school teacher said. The Holy Spirit indwells every single Bible-believing Christian. Can I get a witness? Acts 2 and verse 5. Oh, look, hold on. Let me go up here a minute. Okay, so the Holy Spirit falls on these guys. Let me read verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So who gave them utterance? Who gave them this ability to speak in these different languages? The Holy Spirit. See, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. There's a lot you can do on your own. There's a lot of things you can accomplish on your own, but you can do so much more, and you can do the right stuff when you have the Holy Spirit. Amen? So here's these Galileans, you know, and all of a sudden they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they all begin to talk in different languages, man. Okay, well, what's that got to do with anything? What's that about? God's just showing, man, that His Holy Spirit's a game changer, man. All right? And He's thinking for the big picture. He's thinking for the big thing where the disciples were just thinking about, hey, man, Jesus is back now. Maybe we can go ahead and kick out the Romans and get this thing going here. We've been through a lot. Maybe we can just cut to the chase and do that. Jesus is like, man, slow down. I got something good for you. I'm thinking about the big picture. God's thinking about the big picture. We need to think about the big picture. We are here to give Him glory. Amen? Acts 2 and verse 5. And now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. Wow, what a weird coincidence. The Holy Spirit falls on these 12 dudes at the moment the Pentecost festival's going on. And so there's people, there's Jewish believers, not Christians, but Jews there to worship at the temple. And they're from all over the world. And they hear their native tongue being spoken or being speaked by these Galileans, by these fishermen, by these ex-tax collectors. And they're like, what the heck's going on here, man? Okay. Acts 2 and verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. Somebody from every nation under heaven happened to be in hearing distance of what was going on. Isn't that awesome? See, on Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit falls on these believers, boom, this is the beginning of the church age, man. This is Bible time, man, where the Word of God is going out to every corner of the globe, man, at the perfect time. And at this sound, the multitude came together. So they're all like, what's that noise? What's going on? Was that a tornado over there? What's that dude? I hear what he's saying. He's praising God in my own language. But he looks like a hillbilly. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Because these guys, man, they weren't the sophisticated type. These were Galileans, man. They were like hillbillies, man. I was like, I'm not going to say anything. Okay. And at this sound, the multitude came together and were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Galileans? Huh. I didn't know they had university up there. I didn't know these guys were cultured like that up there. This was just a mind-blowing thing to see these guys, you know, in the way they talked and their accent and the way they dressed. And like, man, these guys are praising God in my own language. Wow. And that's exactly what they were doing. Verse 11, part B says, we hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God. So they're out to worship God, these people from all corners of the globe. They're out to worship God at the temple. And then they hear in their own language a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful praise of all the mighty, awesome things God has done. So this huge crowd is building. Now keep in mind, these are guys that were, these 12 apostles, these disciples, man, they were hiding out for their lives just days ago. You know, I mean, look at Peter. Peter just denied Jesus several times, you know. But see, the Holy Spirit does something to us, man. The Holy Spirit equips us, man, to where we can stand up in the face of opposition and say, you know what? I know it ain't popular, but I'm going to tell you Jesus loves you. Amen. I know it's not popular, but I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. Give him some praise. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? God takes a normal person. God takes a simpleton if he wants to, and equips him with amazing abilities to turn the world upside down. Amen. We see it over and over again. I'm one of them right here. Okay. Acts 2 and verse 14. Let's go to the next slide. Acts 2 and verse 14. God is good. Amen. So this huge crowd is building. The Holy Spirit just fell on the apostles. They're speaking in these languages. They don't even know, man, what they're doing. But God is using them. Okay, God's using them to reach all these people from different walks of life. And so this massive crowd's building. And some of the guys, some of the spectators are like, look at these Galileans, man. They are snickered, bro. It's like 9 in the morning and they are drunk as a skunk. Okay, so Peter gets up and addresses this huge crowd. He sees an opportunity. He sees a crowd building. And through the pushing of the Holy Spirit, he's like, we're about to have church, man. We're about to have church. I'm about to tell you guys about my Jesus. As a matter of fact, that's what he's going to do. The same people that he was running away from, you know, just a few days ago that he was hiding out from, you know, 53 days ago, the same people that he said, I don't even know the man. He denied Jesus to him. He's about to stand up and say, you know about Jesus, right? You know the guy you guys put to death? Let me tell you about him. See, there's a boldness in him. There's a fire in him, man, because it's that Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I get a witness? But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose. Peter's pretty cool. He just wants to address that. We ain't drunk. It's early in the morning, man. Ain't nobody drunk. This is something you don't know about because they actually are drunk, but it's not with wine you know about. Amen. Since it is only the third hour of the day, verse 16, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Now, this is so important right here, man. Okay, some preacher's going to tell you to do something. Somebody's going to tell you to do something. Looky here. It's got to be backed up by the Word of God. Okay? This is Peter saying, look, this is a new thing, okay, but it ain't something we just put together. This ain't some man-made thing. We're not trying to build a cult here. We're not trying to build a church, okay? This is something that God has done, okay, and this is something that was prophesied way back in the day by the prophet Joel. Matter of fact, Peter begins to tell him, this is what the prophet Joel said, and you are witnessing this. Okay, remember that. Somebody tells you to do something or you get some harebrained idea, like, man, I believe I need to do this and this will be a good deal or this will be a bad deal or this is what I want to do deal. Back it up by the Word of God. It's got to be backed up in the Word of God. Okay? So is this filling of the Holy Spirit, is it a biblical thing? All day long, man. I got scripture upon scripture. You have the Holy Spirit if you are a Christian. Give them some praise. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Verse 17, and in the last days, what? Hold the phone. In the last days, Jesus was just buried, resurrected, okay, and he now sits at the side of the Father. This was 2,000 years ago, and the prophet Joel said this is going to happen in the last days. Did you know back then, at the beginning of the church age, on the day of Pentecost, that was the last days too? We've been living in the last days for a long time, guys. So it's time to be expectant. It's time to get excited. Amen? It's a lot closer than it was than when we first started church this morning. Can I get some praise to the Most High God? Thank you, Jesus. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Okay, God equips his people. Through the filling of the Holy Spirit, God equips us and gives us the tools that he wants us to have. So I'm telling you guys this morning, just be obedient to whatever the Lord wants for you. Just say, God, I want what you want me to have. I want to do what you want me to do. I realize it's not about me. I realize that I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price. Amen. Moving forward. Let's go to the next slide. No, stay there. Stay there. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Man, we're cooking with natural gas, man. Okay, either that or I just skipped half the service, but all is good. Tell the truth, shame the devil. God is good, right? Okay, so Pete delivers this massive, amazing gospel message, man. And see, here's the deal. At the beginning of Pentecost Sunday with these 12 disciples, by the end of the day, by the end of this church service, the church grows from a handful to 3,000 people. 3,000 people. Bam. All God's people said, bam. You in the corner eating cereal. Bam. Listen, God does amazing things, and we can do amazing things because we are equipped with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, thank you, Jesus. God is good. Okay. So, I want to jump forward to where Paul and Silas are spreading the gospel. We're not going to talk about this long, but this is a very interesting little tidbit because this is still in the book of Acts. Paul the apostle, who was once Saul of Tarsus, has accepted that precious gift, and he is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is an individual like Peter, like the other disciples, like the early church, turning the world upside down for Jesus Christ. So Paul and Silas are ministering in this area, and it causes a riot, a big commotion, man, because guess what? Everyone's not always going to like you when you're doing the right thing. Just like those people that were teasing the disciples for being drunk. Not everybody's going to get it, man, that you love Jesus. But that's okay. We're not here to please man. We're here to please God. Amen? That's what we're here for, to give God glory. We're not here to be popular. Anywho, Paul and Silas are spreading the gospel, and this huge commotion is stirred up, and they can't find Paul and Silas, but they grab a couple of Paul's buddies. They grab this guy named Jason, and I just want to read this verse. They take Jason and some other Christians, man, to this big meeting. This is so cool right here, because through the Holy Spirit, we can do all things. Without him, we can't do nothing. Nothing right, nothing eternal. Can I get a witness? And when they could not find them, talking about Paul and Silas, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, listen, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." That's what the early church did. They turned the world upside down. They turned it upside down because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were obedient to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave them the tools they needed to do what God asked of them to do. And see, sometimes, man, when you've been a Christian for a while, you kind of get burnt out, man. You kind of get used to trying doing it on your own and not being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, it says in Scripture, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's something that we are constantly to do. And I pray almost every day, God, fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit, because we need it, man. We need that, and we need it now more than ever. We need that Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to direct us. Amen. Ephesians 5 and verse 18, check it out. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." Okay, you're going to be controlled by something. You're going to be controlled by something. This isn't a sermon about not drinking wine, okay? If you're of legal age and you're being responsible, ain't nothing wrong with you having a bottle of wine with dinner or something like that. That's not what I'm here to talk about. The thing is don't let the things of this world control you, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen? "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Okay, and that be filled with the Spirit is like a continual thing. It's like be being filled. Don't give in to the things of this world. Don't let the world lead you. Don't let the world control you. But you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you and continue to be filled by Him. And we need to pray for that every single day. God, just fill me up afresh. God, fill me up afresh. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that because God says, be being filled. We need the Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christian, I just want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Father God, I love you. And I praise you, Lord. And I ask you right now just to top me off with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that I need you, Lord. And I am nothing without you, Lord. Thank you for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. And let me be obedient to that Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you give me all things that I need for life and godliness, Lord. I want to be obedient to you. I want to yield to you, Lord. Thank you that I'm going to do what you've called me to do, Lord, no matter what the price. Because I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.